You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody say the church. Hallelujah. Thank God for the church. You know, the church is a group, it's an assembly, it's a people who have joined a vision. Every church has a different vision, obviously slightly different. Our overall vision should be the same. We all have the vision of promoting the gospel and building the kingdom, whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of Christ, Lutheran, Catholic, right on down the list. But within that, there probably are nuances or slight differences of vision. Obviously, you know, the things that we do here might be different than, say, a Baptist church. Doesn't mean we're not Christians. Doesn't mean we don't accept them as Christians. Doesn't mean we don't love them and support them and for them. We are for church. Are you with me? But obviously, we're what we'd call a Holy Ghost church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit and healing, miracle, signs, wonders, charismatic, we're faithful, gospel, Pentecostal. You know, I don't like labels so much because you tend, if you put a name on something, you think you know everything about them just because you've labeled them. And that's not always true. I mean, even in Baptist churches, they're as different as daylight and dark from one city to the next. Depends on the church. Depends on a pastor. Depends on the people. Are you with me? So we do yield and believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit and miracle signs and wonders. We don't believe any of that's passed away. We're very strong on prayer, obviously. We believe that God hears us when we pray according to His Word, that He'll do what He says, and He'll answer that. And we believe we can get answers to prayer. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're a church. That's what we are. And this is good. This is a God thing. Church is a God thing. God never ordained that you would serve Him by yourself. Salvation is personal. You have to accept Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom. There's just children. Amen? Can't go to heaven on mama's faith or daddy's faith. You got to go home, go to heaven on your faith. I understand that personally, salvation is a personal thing. But living it out is not personal. And being in obedience to God is not personal. God didn't call any lone rangers to serve Him. All of us are part of each other and should be a part of a group somewhere. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. We don't even have one. But I'm preaching to the initiated, not the uninitiated, because you're here in church. I always get tickled. You know, these preachers just start slamming everybody, you know, for not coming to church and not getting involved and so on. So, and the one he's preaching to is there. They're sitting right there. So you're to be commended for being here. It's all those other guys I'm mad at. Okay. No, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just glad you're here. Listen, every one person here is worth preaching to. Amen? Jesus would have died for one person. I can preach to one person. We're just glad you came. Thank God for church. We've been on this series on the church on Sundays for a while, several weeks now. On Wednesday nights, we've been on a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit. We've had people baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it's just strange. In the midst of all that, we've had several water baptisms even that have taken place. And that's been a great series. We're going to continue teaching on that this Wednesday, next Wednesday, and talk about the gifts. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want to talk briefly just a few reasons why church. Everybody say, why church? Okay? Because a lot of times we ask these kind of questions. I love God. I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I pray. Why do I need church? And that's a good question, to which I believe there are answers. You know, obviously, every preacher is going to say you ought to come to church, but that shouldn't be the reason you go. Every preacher will probably get up and tell you need to give an offering, but that shouldn't be the reason you give. Surely there's something more than just the word of the preacher, and I are one. Hello. But preachers say those kinds of things because I hope they do, because that's what the Scripture says to do. And ultimately, we have a manual to live by. It's called the Bible. Now, in that, obviously, that manual is used in a lot of different churches. So sometimes there's a little different, you know, interpretation to that. But I think all of us are in agreement, whether we be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or Charismatic, Catholic, whatever, is that church is a God thing. Church is not something man started. I know man can mess it up and get involved, but originally it's something that Jesus started. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he believed in the church. And obviously, the writers of the New Testament believed in the church. They wrote to the churches. You know, I think of Paul's writings. Goodness, if you're going to honestly, objectively read Paul's writings, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. If you're going to read his writings, then you're going to have this hurdle to get over. He wrote to churches. He wrote to the saints, the church at Rome, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the churches of Galatia, Ephesians, Colossians, those churches. And when he wrote to an individual, he wrote to Titus and he wrote to Timothy, they were pastors. You know, Titus in 1 Timothy, he's talking about church government. He talks about deacons and elders. And who does he talk to? He talks to the pastor. He tells the pastor the requirements of these leaders because the pastor ultimately was to oversee that. Are you with me? He was like a head elder among elders. He had to approve and he had to oversee and he had to make sure that it was done right. He was the leader. So church government is not written to a church, but is written to a pastor, Titus and Timothy. That's where you find all the requirements of deacons and elders in those two books, Titus and 1 Timothy. So that would be the only digression where he doesn't write to church as a whole, but they were to share what they learned and what he said with the church. And Philemon, he was correcting a problem with a slave that had run away and had helped Paul, and he was going back to his master called Philemon, and he was writing a courtesy letter telling him to receive him as a brother, and if he owes anything, I'll pay it. It's kind of neat because he puts in there, he says, I'll pay whatever he owes, but just remember, you owe me your life. Just say it. It's a short little letter, but it's kind of a cute little way he builds that case. But he's writing to churches. He's writing to the church. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the early church, early Christianity, they had local assemblies. You know, even under Judaism, they had a, if you had 10 men, 10 heads of families in a city, you could start a synagogue. And they had synagogues all over, you know, all over the region around Jerusalem and in foreign countries too, as long as you had 10 families with 10 men. And I think that's significant too because that gives some balance and it gives some protection. You know, you ever notice that somebody is not in church that reads the Bible all the time and is real spiritual, but they don't go to church? They're kind of weird. You ever notice that? I'm not being mean. I'm just saying they got some weird ideals about Christianity. They got some fringe revelation, or they're kind of off somewhere, you know. Church gives you balance. When you get together, a lot of that weird stuff just doesn't work out, you know, when you try to apply it in real-life situations. And if you're just trying to live your life by yourself, then you're living a very sheltered life because there's a lot of other lives out here that's had a lot of experiences you hadn't had. And if your doctrine, your teaching's right, it will work in all these situations. And you don't know that if you're not in a group. If you're just by yourself, just praying in your closet and just reading your Bible by yourself and you're not a part of a group, you're going to get imbalanced. You'll get a little off. Because the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. The church keeps me straight. I'm not saying I keep you straight. The church keeps all of us straight. A lot of things I teach and preach, I've got to face you week by week by week. I have to face your families. Marry your kids, bury your parents, are you with me? Baptize your families. And so the doctrine needs to be right. There needs to be an understanding of this truth that I preach and teach. Does it work? Well, for 30 years we've been working on it. We're tweaking it. Are you with me? And we're learning to answer questions and situations, and it helps us. We all grow together in church. It keeps us balanced. I love that. We're praying for each other. We're working with each other. We're accepting each other. Woohoo! That's a good one. I mean, you know, if you didn't have church, you just hang around just people that just did what you did. Oh, really? I mean, you know, if you're just a bow hunter, then you just hang around bow hunters. And if you didn't bow hunt, don't want to hang around you. I just bow hunt. Hello. And if we'll get real spiritual, we'll start a bow hunting church. And you just got a bow hunt to come to this church. We're just bow hunters. Now, I am a bow hunter, so I can say that. I love to bow hunt. But see, in church, I have to hang around people who don't bow hunt. I have to grow with them. I have to accept them. I have to learn from them. Are you with me? And that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. In fact, in church, I hang around people that are not my same age. A lot of people in this church are older than I am. Oh, well, younger, older, whatever, you know, the case is. See, church is good because it's a family. And, you know, if we just picked everything out ourselves, then we would just hang around people that listen to the same kind of music we did, read the same kind of books we read, have the same kind of hobby we have. And you know what? We wouldn't grow. We would get imbalanced. We really would. But in church, we're forced into a situation in a good way that we can grow and we really get a taste of society. We're all different, and churches, we're all unique in church. But we need this. We need older people. We need younger people. We need middle-aged people. We need black. We need white. We need Hispanic. We need Asian. We need people of different race. Are you with me? Coming from different cultures. People that love the Lord Jesus Christ. People that maybe live a different life than you did. I'm not talking about immoral. I'm just talking about a different culture, custom, whatever the case may be. That think maybe different than you do. That had different passions and different gifts. Church is a wonderful place for us to put all of our gifts together and get something marvelous going here. It's just awesome to see everybody's passions different, but we have the vision of the gospel, the vision of the kingdom, and it forces us together. If we just say, I don't need church, we're going to get imbalanced. We're going to become a legend in our own mind. We're going to think we're the only ones normal. Truth be known, nobody's normal. No, I love that. You know, everybody's normal until you get to know them. You included. There's no normal. The only normal person was Jesus Christ. And they crucified him, okay? And he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So we need, you say, what about imperfect people? Well, no, that's okay. We'll take you. Did you get that? I mean, you may ask the question, what about imperfect people? Fine, you can come here. We'll take you. You're imperfect, and so are we. We're all imperfect. We're all working on this. We're all doing the best we can. We all need prayer. Are you with me? We're all wanting to striving to be like Christ. Well, none of us are perfect. None of us are just right. There's nobody that's, you know, hitting all eight cylinders at one time, all the time. You know, we have our good days and bad days, but we're working on this thing, and we need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to learn to tolerate each other and forgive each other and encourage each other. Amen?
Amen.
We need church. Church perfects us. Church opens our eyes to the reality of life. What about God? Think about God and all the different people in the world that Jesus died for. And he loves all of them. That just amazes me. Some people, I think, God loves them. I don't get it. But he does. And they're probably thinking, you know, about me. God loves him. Wow. Yeah, that's a revelation. So, Hebrews 10. Y'all found it?
Yeah.
Why church? Good question. Why church? Notice what it says here in the 23rd verse. That's a good one. I'm reading out a New King James Version. It's slightly different than King James. It just takes out the yea, verily, forsooth, peradventures, and hitherto's. But it's basically the same text. Hebrews 10:23 says this. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. King James says faith. Actually, that is the word hope. It's LPC is the Greek word translated here, and it is the word hope. So we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah, somebody. That's why the word works, because God is faithful to what he says. It's not just a legal thing where, you know, we go through the mechanics and the formula of saying the scripture and declaring the scripture that will come to pass. No, we say the scripture and declare the scripture because God Almighty backs it up. God said it, and God's faithful. Not just to his word, he's faithful to us. He's faithful to do what he said he will do for us because he loves us that much. Amen? So we need to hold on to our confession if we're believing and standing on something. Don't back off. Don't be doubtful. Don't waver. Let's believe. Woohoo! Well, it's been so long. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't you back off. You hold fast. He's faithful who promised. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Everybody say, consider one another. Don't just be thinking about yourself. You ought to think about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you ought to consider them to stir them up in love and good works. Well, that'd be impossible to do if we didn't have church. You wouldn't have anybody to consider. You wouldn't have anybody to stir up in love and stir up in good works. You know, our job together as a group, as a church, is to make each other the best we can be. to lift up different ministries in the church, to pray. Even if we're not involved, we ought to pray for them, lift them up. Thank God for the different ministries in the church. Thank God for all the classes. Thank God for the food ministry. Hallelujah night. Thank God for the people that clean. Thank God for the orchestra and the praise team. Thank God for secretaries, the Chris that does all the video and all that. I mean, thank God for everybody that does everything. Thank God for the nursery, the nursery workers. Hallelujah. Got to have them. Need them. You don't want all those screaming babies in here. Too much competition for me. Hello. And so that's a great ministry. Awesome ministry that they have. Children's church and so on and so forth. So we ought to encourage one another. You know, this morning somebody in the class, Ron, made a comment thanking me for my study and so on and so forth. You know, and efforts that I put into teaching and so on. You know, that's good. We ought to do that with each other. You know, you ought to thank the orchestra, the song leaders and the praise team, and you ought to thank the people that teach in classes and the nursery workers, and you ought to stir each other up in love and good works. Church is about empowering each other. It's about encouraging each other. It's about telling people, hey, I need you. Hello? I need you. You make me a better person. You make me a better Christian. You make me a better pastor. And you've done that to me. For 30 years I've been pastoring here. You have made me a better pastor. You really have. Your commitment, your prayers, your faithfulness, your experiences. One thing about the class I talk about all the time is just the exchange, the interaction, the questions and the comments. And we grow together. I love that. And so there's that church. Why church? Well, I don't know how you'd fulfill this scripture without church. You couldn't do it. You have to have church to do it. And then he says, the telling verse, the 25th verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So when the writer of Hebrews was writing this, they had church, but they also had some people that didn't really regularly attend church. Are you out there? This is not to hit anybody over the head. I mean, I got no stones to throw. I'm not here beating anybody on the head. I want to encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you. I hope you get convicted if you're in sin, but I don't want to condemn you. You're not condemned. You know, condemnation is when you get beat over the head and you just think you're sorry and no good and worthless and can't do anything right. Conviction is when you know you can do better and you should do better. And God loves you and God wants to help you do better. If all you do is just turn, repent, and come, He'll help you get back on your feet again. That's conviction, as opposed to condemnation. Nobody's condemning anybody. I love you too much not to tell you this, because I know this will bless you and help you if you'll do this. Are you with me? That's not hate or condemnation. That's love. Love compels me to tell you, join up, hook up. Get involved in this church. Get in some church. Get hooked up some church. You need church. Every one of us need to get hooked up. The number one reason you could say here is obedience. God said to do it. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And when he talked about the day, he was talking about the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes back. And I believe we're closer than ever to the coming of the Lord. I mean, obviously, if Peter said he was in the last days, and he did say that in a message in Acts 2, then we must be in the lastest of the last days. Here's 2,000 years later, we're closer than ever to the coming of the Lord. And closer, more than ever, we need to assemble ourselves together. We need not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because this strengthens us. Amen? And it gives us the opportunity to encourage one another to good works. I love it when you get together people like faith. You know you're not alone. Amen? I mean, it encourages you to believe God. I tell you what, if you need a miracle, you better be in a church that believes in miracles. You need to be in a church that believes in miracles, that prays for miracles, that encourage you to believe God and stand in faith, because that's going to help you, without a doubt. In fact, you can kill your faith by being in a group of people that don't believe in it. So one thing about, you know, being in a church, it encourages your faith. It strengthens your faith. You are not alone. You're not out there by yourself. Hallelujah. Y'all out here. Okay. Another thing, and you don't have to turn to this verse. In fact, you might just, if you're writing notes, you might write this down. I'll turn to one in just a minute. obedience is a major point. I think that if you didn't know anything else, if we quit and went home right now, that would be all we need to know. God said go to church, you need to go to church. Amen. Now, you need to find one, obviously, that moves you toward God. Don't go to a designer-friendly church. In other words, find one that just everybody's just like you. I don't even know one like that anyway, because there's no church like that. But you need to go to a church that when you walk in, and the praise and the worship and the message and the people and the presence of God's there, that it moves you toward God. You need to be in a church that pulls you toward Him, pulls you toward holiness, you know, where you're convicted in a good way, not condemned, but convicted, where you know, God, I got to get right with God. I got to do better in my life. I got to get more involved with God. I need to seek Him more. I need to worship Him. I need to get to Him. I need to get in His presence. I need Him in my life. You need to be in a church that moves you in that direction. Okay? I can say that without reservation. Whether this is it or not, I don't know. But I tell you, when you walk in a church and it's the right church and the anointing of God and the presence of God's there, it's going to pull you toward Him. It's going to make you want to be a better man and a better woman. It's going to make you want to do better. It's going to make you be a better husband. It's going to make you want to be a better wife. It's going to make you want to be a better mother and a better father, a better brother and a sister, a better Christian. If you're not compelled, if you're not pulled to do that, if you're not convicted about anything in your life, I think you need to go on down the road. You need to find a church that makes you, that convicts you, and that the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart. You need to be in a place that does that. Because church is about God. It's not about just me. It's about the Lord. It's about Him changing me and pulling me and tugging me and loving me. And you ought to sense the anointing. I mean, when the message is being preached, there should be something tugging at your heart and burning in your spirit. You know, like the Holy Spirit's just hovering over you. The hound of heaven on your trail. Hallelujah. And then obey God and get in that church. Get in that church. Another good reason would be effectiveness. You just, everybody say effectiveness. It's just more effective. It's just the smart thing to do. You're going to do better. You're going to reach further. You're going to accomplish more in a church than you will by yourself. Pure and simple. Deuteronomy, if you're writing those, Deuteronomy 32, chapter 32, capitulo 30, dos, versículo 30. Okay. 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now, what he was saying was God had to forsake them for someone to overcome them like that. If you want to chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, God's got to be on your side. For your enemy to come at you and one chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight, God must have forsaken you. Are you with me? But when God gets on your side, two of you can put 10,000 to flight. One of you may put 1,000, two of you put 10,000. So your effectiveness just goes through the roof. You know, if you've ever done construction, you know, I've worked construction off and on all my life, even though I've been pastoring. It seems like I've been doing a lot lately because I'm trying to finish out an apartment by the house that put guest ministers in because I quit putting them in the Y a long time ago. And I never put anybody in the Y hotel. I don't know if they still have the Y hotel. I've been working quite a bit in construction and doing things in there, and I'm doing the plumbing. That's where I got this mark right here. This was an idiot mark right here. I was soldering out copper and stubbing out copper, the water lines, the hot water, cold water lines. And I just soldered this copper, put a cap on it, and I leaned over to grab this drain line that I was having trouble with trying to get in the wall, and I bumped the end of the copper with my head. And I thought right then, man, do I need God because I have no brains in my head. Why did I do that? Of course, all the women thought I did it with a curling iron. I don't use a curling iron. I did it with a stub out on a copper line that I just saw. But anyway, I know when you're working in construction, you don't just double your time. You get it twice as quick, done twice as fast if you have somebody helping you. It's actually faster than that. I know when you're laying plywood or whatever, you know, you're on a roof and someone's handing you plywood, it's more than twice as fast, all right? Oh, we got two people. We can do this twice as fast. No, it's like three or four times as fast. If you have to climb down that ladder and get that plywood and put it up there by yourself, are you with me? And then put it down and climb back down and get another sheet and put it. Oh, are you kidding me? It's more than twice as fast. So two people, it's exponential in that sense. When two people get in agreement and do something, it's much faster than just twice as fast. And that's kind of what he's saying here. One chase 1,000, two put 10,000. Not one 1,000, two 2,000. And it's that way in life even, that two of you can do so much more. How about three? How about four? What about a church? Hallelujah. Do you think that we could do this food bank with two people? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. In fact, it takes a church to do the food bank. We might have 12, 14 volunteers out there working, but you know what? It takes all of us to make it happen. Because all of us are involved, whether you're out there doing it or not. Your prayers, your tithes, your offerings. Hallelujah night. Hallelujah night's gotten so big, we can't even do it as our church. We fund it, we build it, we buy all the candy and all the prizes and set up all the booths and do all that, but we can't run all the booths because there's more booths than we have people to run. So now the churches come out and they volunteer and we let, you know, churches do a couple of booths and different ones. And in fact, the Cowboy churches contact us, round them up. Was that round them up? Just recently said they want to be sure and get involved and do some of the booths. And, you know, we got a couple of new Baptist churches starting up. So we got a lot more help this year because I'm going to hit them all up. I already talked to Brandon Bachtel. They want to help this year. That Stone Point church has started up here on 47. And, of course, Tom Hubbard goes out to New Release. And Tom's always real involved. And then we've got First Baptist. So, you know, I mean, I know those churches kind of all started out, and now we got a lot of different churches, and some people are upset about it. But, you know, every church preaches Jesus, we're for them. Are you with me? And Calvary Baptist helps us. I, you know, what we do without Baptists. I've always said if it weren't for Baptists, I wouldn't have any son-in-laws. But we have a lot of help at Hallelujah Night from all the Baptist churches. Now, think about that. That's the power of unity. There's one time a year we can get together on something, and we do more than we could as one church. See, and it's like the Thanksgiving service. You know, we rotate around. This year we're going to do this Thanksgiving service at the Assembly of God building. We're going to do it this year there. But it takes all the churches come together on that deal. And different choirs and singing and different people doing different parts and prayers and offerings and so on and so forth. I just think it is so neat that we're able to get together and do that. And I think that just gives a black eye to the devil. Are you with me? Advances the kingdom and shows unity. And that's what it's all about. Our effectiveness goes up a notch. See? So we need to get together because to obey God. We need to get together for effectiveness sake. And if you're writing scriptures down, write this down, Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you, Jesus speaking, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Berna, as you saw today, and she does this every service, she prayed for people. She prayed for prayer requests. Sometimes there's people in the audience that want hands laid on them, and we'll do that. We'll lay hands on them. And Berna prays. But see, the thing about this is we're all praying. There's not just one person praying and believing. There's all of us praying and believing. So if two agree as touching anything on earth, if they ask of my Father in heaven, it shall be given or shall be done. One to chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. Think about it. How much more? We just take it to another level when the church prays about something. Amen. When the church gets together, now we're all believing. Hallelujah. Now we're joining our faith together. Man, I see church is a powerful thing when it comes to prayer and it comes to effectiveness. So I need that kind of efficacious prayer. Use a big word. I need that kind of power in prayer. I need that kind of effectiveness in prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm not always on top. Hello? Some days I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. Are you out there? Are y'all with me on this deal? Yes. When you start passing out coffee in the service or something, I'd be for that. Just anything wake me up. So, but sometimes I need people to agree with me. Come on. Sometimes I need somebody. I'm not always up. I wish I could say I was up all the time. I'm not. I'm not up all the time. I'm not up when I'm up sometimes. I get up in the morning, I'm not really up for a couple hours. I'm not a real morning person. I mean, I get up, I'm awake, I'm talking and everything, but usually a couple hours after I've been walking around, after 2-3 cups of coffee, I wake up and I go, wow, I'm awake now. Okay. We need it to obey God, for sake not to assemble yourselves together. We need it for effectiveness because we're just more powerful together than we are by ourselves. And then, turn to Ecclesiastes. Let's just read this one. Ecclesiastes. Don't worry, I'll get you out and let you. We'll beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. God bless the Baptist. Ecclesiastes 4. Love this. I just love this. Another benefit, another why church. Ecclesiastes 4 says, the ninth verse says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, I was talking about that in construction terms, how much more you get done. How much more are we getting done as a church now than we would have individually? It's impossible to even say. I wonder what if we all just left church and just served God in our home and never came back to church, how much would we get done for the kingdom? Well, we might get something done. I'm not saying we couldn't get anything done. But do you really think that if you just don't come to church again, and I don't come to church again, you don't come to church, we just leave, we're still Christians, we're still believers now, do you think we're going to accomplish what we could accomplish if we got together? No way. There's just no way. There's just no way we could have what we have today and do what we do today and be the influence that we are today in Wills Point as an individual as we are as a group. Woo! That's powerful. Amen? Amen. So, here he's talking about that in one sense. He goes on and says some other things. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, which we just discussed there and talked about. And, you know, two agrees, touch anything shall be done. One chase 1,000, two put 10,000 fly. But then he goes and says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls. For he hath not another to help him up. Another benefit of going to church or why church is protection. Are you with me? And help. Come on, you got people here to love you. You got people here that will help you. You got people that will call you. People that will come see you. People that will lift you up in the time of need, visit you in the hospital, whatever the case may be. Maybe have a tragedy in your life, a crisis in your life. You got people that are going to come by. They're going to bring you food, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to check on you. Are you with me? See, when you fall, if you're by yourself, there's no one there to lift you up. I think it's a sad, sad thing not to have any friends, not to have any family, not to have any community, not to have any brothers and sisters. Hello. That's why the Bible is so emphatic about helping widows that are widows indeed. Widows that have no family. Widows that have no friends. Those are the ones that churches should take care of. And they should help, and they should get behind. Because the church is about helping people. The church is about protecting people. It's about lifting people up. Amen? Amen? Besides just obedience, besides just strength and power and being able to go further and do more than we could ever do, there's help and there's protection in the church. I am very, very secure being a part of this church. I know I got a church home. I know I got a church family. I know I got people praying for me. I know I got people behind me. Some of you are as much or more family to me as some of my other family that I have, blood relatives even, because we've been through so much together. We've stood together too many times. We have seen too many prayers answered. We have seen too many miracles come to pass. We've seen God move over and over and over and over again. No. We're not going to drop each other. We're not going to forget each other. We're family, hallelujah. And I know I can depend on you, and you can depend on me. Are you with me? I need church. We need church. Are you with me? Don't think you don't need it. You do. And church needs you. That goes both ways. It's not all about just what you can get either. Sometimes it's what you can give. You know, you need to be there to pray, to support. You need to be there, stand behind other people. Hallelujah. And I believe we have that. I mean, I really do. I thank God for this church. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You can get cold to God by yourself. Do you know that? But you can stay stirred up and hot and on fire for God around other people. You burn out by yourself. But other people, I like accountability. That's what I love about the men's meeting. You know, we meet once a month, and we just talk, you know, talk about men's stuff, and Bible, just teach Bible. But it's good camaraderie. It's good peer pressure. I know I got to answer to these guys if I don't show up. And I don't show up every once in a while because I'm out of town somewhere. Got caught on a plane. I got a plane trip canceled last month, I think, or a couple months ago. But I'll be here this Saturday. But, you know, I live right, and I make a lot of decisions in this world that I live in thinking about you, thinking about the men of this church, thinking about this church and families of this church, thinking about... thinking about what shame I would bring on you if I did certain things. God bless you. Thinking about... God bless you again. Hallelujah. I live thinking of you, not just me. I live thinking of my wife. I live thinking about my children, about my grandchildren. And I live thinking about my church. I don't want to bring a reproach on the church. There are some things that I don't really think are all that bad, but I think people would misunderstand, so I don't do them. Are you with me? Some things I don't really necessarily think it's a sin per se, but you know, I think people would not get it. I think people would take that and twist it. So, you know what? I just stay away from it because of you. And that's good. I need that. I need that peer pressure. I'm under pressure, good pressure, peer pressure to serve God. I like that. Keeps me straight. Amen? Because I'm a part of something here. I'm not just a me, I'm a we. I'm part of a group. I'm part of International Outreach Church. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and I belong to you. You belong to me. We all belong to Jesus. Now think about it. I didn't say that wrongly because you don't belong to me alone. I belong to you. We belong to each other. Just as surely as I am called to this church, you're called to this church. Just as surely God raised me up and sent me here. God raised you up and sent you here. You're just as called as I am. You're just not called to pastor, but you're called to the church. Are you out there? Every one of us are called. God has set the members in the body as it has pleased Him, the Bible says. He set the members in the body. He set them. He set you here. He tugged at your heart. He put you here because this is where He wanted you to be and grow and mature. Amen? Okay. If one prevail, 12th verse, against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. How much more you take 50 or 100 or 200 people get together? That's powerful stuff, amen? I like to see the day we have 500 people, 1,000 people. Just keep growing. The larger we are, the more influence we have. The more people we have, the more ministries we have. The more people we have, the more strength we have. Hallelujah. So why church? Well, I can think of three reasons real quick. And I don't have time to get into all the others, but obedience, don't forsake assembly yourself together. Effectiveness, you're just going to do more and go further to chase 10,000. And then just the benefit and protection, the protection that comes from, the help that comes from when you fall. Because every one of us fall from time to time and need help, need strength. Every one of us have crisis hit from time to time. But thank God you got a church family that'll pray with you and believe with you and help you, strengthen you, hold your hand, get you through that. Amen. Get you back up on your feet again. Hallelujah.